We are on final approach now on in the book of Colossians. In fact, next week, Andrew is looking at the very last section of this book. And this morning, I'm looking at chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. So let's read that together. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I'm going to crack this passage into two. The first half, we're looking at talking to God, which is what we call prayer. And the second half, talking to others, that is what we call conversation. So let's just pray first. Father, I invite your spirit to come and move among us now, to bring your word to life to each person here, and that each person is able to have interaction with your spirit and hear from the Father's heart for themselves this morning. We ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So the first half, talking about prayer. What's this passage saying about prayer? I think there are three things that we can pull out. The first is our attitude. Second, our style. And thirdly, our direction. So our attitude. How should we approach prayer? How should we come to it? Is it something that we should be avoiding? Is it something we only have to do occasionally, like a teenager washing themselves? But Paul here, and I now have a teenage son, Paul here uses the word devoted. Be devoted to prayer. And when we use this word in our common language, we might say you're devoted to your family, or some misguided people might say they're devoted to a football team. Devoted means to be committed to give time to give energy, in this case, into prayer. Now, I've been a Christian for some time now, and I've a confession to make. I've never felt that I have been good at prayer. Now, I wonder if there's anybody here that would put their hand up and say, actually, I feel I'm really good at prayer. I'm an expert in prayer. And I don't know whether anyone would be as bold to say that. And I've tried all sorts of things over my Christian life to help me get better at prayer. I've tried lists. I've tried journals. I've tried praying through the Lord's Prayer. But I still have never felt good at praying. And I can remember hearing someone, or I read someone, and I can't remember where it happened, but I heard a message that really liberated my prayer life. And I can't remember who said it, so it's probably, I'm nicking it off someone, but I can't remember who it is, so I can't give them credit, so sorry, some may know this. But my kind of breakthrough in prayer was to accept that I was no good at prayer. To accept that. I'm no good at prayer, and I keep praying. I'm no good at prayer, but I keep praying. You don't have to feel that you are an expert, that you are good in prayer, to keep praying. And I found that so liberating. It released me into more prayer. And I would say I probably pray more now than I ever have done in my life. Because I've been liberated, not trying to be good at prayer, but enjoy prayer. Our spiritual disciplines are not to be grounded in guilt. It's not a feeling, I must do this, I must go through these regular things all the time. But rather, they are to come out of the joy we have of knowing the Father's love. As Alan was just talking about, knowing our inheritance is secure in Him. It won't spoil or fade. As he was speaking there, I thought, and there's no tax on our inheritance in the kingdom of God. It won't spoil or fade. That's our inheritance. And we can enjoy that inheritance. We can enjoy being with the Father, which is what prayer is. We're not striving to have that position before God. We're not to have the spirit of an orphan. An orphan spirit is always fighting for their right to be in a particular place, to receive certain things. But we're a child of God. We've been adopted. We've been accepted into God's family. We have a right to be there, and we can enjoy that presence with him. Now, prayer is not exclusively that time when you sit down in your comfy seat and you get your cup of coffee and you think, I'll just have a read my Bible and I'll say a little prayer. God, prayer is not just that, not exclusively that. It can be much more than that. And in Ephesians 6, we're encouraged to pray on all occasions. All occasions, that means all the time. Well, how can that happen? How can I pray all the time? Well, I didn't quite quote that passage correctly. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. So as we walk by the Spirit, he will direct our path and our thoughts. And as we are continually come to God and pray to be filled afresh by his Spirit, which we can do every day, even every minute of every day, we can have that close, intimate relationship. And as we're connecting with God all through the time, our spirit is connecting and we can pray all the time, on all occasions, into the situations where we're found, because we're walking by the power of the Spirit of God. And I've found that the gift of tongues, if God has given you that gift, has been a great release into praying continuously, praying all the time, being connected to God, connected to my Heavenly Father, not striving after something, but enjoying that relationship with him. Enjoying the pleasure of the Father's heart. That I'm loved. That I'm accepted. I've got a place at his table. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I do sit down and I pray. I do sometimes use lists and other things that help me. But I've been liberated in saying to people, actually, I'm no good at prayer. But let's keep on praying. Keep on praying. But we do have a future when we will be good in prayer. As Christians, we are looking forward to an eternity with God, when we can know God perfectly and have that wonderful communion with him and enjoy the presence of God for that eternity. It may just be me, but do you find that you sometimes come across people that just wind you up? And you feel like having a right old married couple speaking to them. You feel like having a right old grumble or moan about them to somebody else. That they're just not doing the things that they should be doing. And you know, because you've heard a few sermons about this, but you know that if you go off and start speaking to your friends about them, it's gossiping. And that's not good. But you're burdened with this, I've got to tell someone about this. Well, you can. You can tell God. And we call that prayer. Isn't that amazing how it can be turned around? You can either go and talk to your friends about someone, which is gossip and that's bad, or you can turn around and you can talk to God about that person, and that's prayer, and that's very virtuous. But we can, and prayer works. Prayer affects situations time and time again. As a church, if we've prayed in situations, we've seen answers to prayer. And I'm sure if some of you keep a prayer journal, you probably can look back. I can't. And you can see where prayers have been answered. But from memory, I know many situations the church we've prayed into, we've seen answers to prayer. And we can come to God and bring to God these issues that we're struggling with. Rather than gossiping about them, we can come to God. And I want to be part of a church that does that. I want to be a part of a church that has unity in our heart, because we're not gossiping about what's going on. But if we do come across things, we actually bring them to God. And we can engage God and ask God's wisdom and situation to come into that. So our attitude should be one of devotion as you walk in step with the Spirit. What's Paul saying about the style of prayers? He said that our prayers should be watchful and thankful. And Jesus himself said in the Garden of Gethsemane to his followers, watch and pray. We are to be aware of the times that we are praying into. Be aware of what God is doing in our own lives, in our church life, in the life of our nation or the world. The theologian Karl Barth said that one should read the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Because we're working together what's happening in the world and applying God's word into those situations. Which also come with prayers of thanksgiving. Counting our blessings is a very old-fashioned word, isn't it? It's the kind of word my grandmother would have used to me, to count your blessings. Well, actually, we are so blessed, particularly in the UK. And it only takes when you go abroad somewhere and you see the situations that some people have to live in, that suddenly when you come back to the UK, you can give thanks to God for the sewage system. Yeah? It works generally here. Psalm 100 says that enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Coming into the presence of God, we use the thanksgiving to come into his presence. We rejoice to what he's done as we come into his presence. And we have so much to be grateful to God for. So our prayers are to have this character of thankfulness. Of not coming to God with some big list. Not straight into, a doctor maybe, and you've got a big list of things you need sorting out. But actually we come to God as our loving Father, full of thankfulness for what he's done. And as you get into that presence, maybe those lists don't feel as important now. But you can present your needs to God at the same time. Finally, in this first section, we have a direction given to prayer. Because Paul asks this young church to pray for me. He says, pray for him. Pray for me too. So Paul assumes that they're praying for other people, but you ask them to pray for him. He, as the great apostle, humbles himself and asks them to pray for him. And in chapter 1, he's already told them what he's been praying for them. And much of the rest of the letter is given over to give them instruction as to how to fulfill the prayers he's already prayed in chapter 1. But this great apostle Paul is asking this young church for prayer. And there's a wonderful connection I've found when you begin to pray for someone. There's a connection that happens. That's a spiritual thing. When you're sharing heart together, when you're praying into a situation, a connection is made. A deeper bond is developed between you. And Paul is aware that this church is a partner with him in the gospel. And he asks them to pray for him, which will strengthen that relationship. And we don't find here a request by Paul to open the prison doors where he was locked up, but rather another door to be opened for the message of Jesus Christ to be proclaimed so that the apostolic mission can continue. And Paul speaks about the mystery of Christ. He speaks here is the revelation of God in Christ, something that was hidden, hinted at through the Old Testament. God is pointing towards Christ coming to them. The nation of Israel had a foretaste of Christ coming. They knew good kings, they knew prophets, they knew good judges. But one is coming who will be the great prophet. One is coming who will be the King of Kings. One who is coming who will be the great judge. And his name is Jesus. And this nation of Israel were expecting someone to come to them and to throw off their own national enemies. They had forgotten God's promise that he would use that nation to bless the whole world. So he came as a baby rather than a conquering king to change hearts rather than national boundaries, to make a way for all to be able to have a relationship with God. That is the mystery that's been hidden in Christ, that is revealed in Christ as he comes. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't feel that Jesus Christ has been totally revealed to you. I'd love to be able to chat to you at the end of this meeting. Christ has revealed himself. And he uses people, it's by human speech, which we're coming on to in the next section, that we can share and explain that mystery that is now revealed in Christ. But I actually want to jump to some application. And we're going to do something a little bit different this morning together as we apply the words that Paul is speaking about here. We are really blessed as a church because of the position we are in with many people with apostolic giftings and opportunities that we have to serve apostolically. We are part of Christ Central, which is Jeremy Simpkins' team of people that lead a work across 70 churches across the Northeast and others, increasingly others overseas as well. We are part of that network, which we see more publicly at North. We look to Ray Lowe as a great friend and a father of the church, and we rejoiced with him a few weeks ago as he turned 70 years old. And we also have great relationship with David Campbell, who founded this church over 30 years ago and is now lives in Canada, but has come back to the last 5-6 years and really connected with us as a church and other churches in the region. We benefit greatly from their input and their challenge as a church. We also have fantastically strong links with Finney in India and with many churches that are growing and developing in Albania and developing more of a network base in Albania. So I wanted to think slightly different today because we are going to have church prayer. I want us to pray into, as a church, these areas of apostolic ministry that we are personally connected with. So in the passage, Paul is saying, please pray for me. I'd like us all to pray for these people, these situations that we are involved in as a church apostolically. So I'd like us all to stand. I've got a few guys who are going to lead us in prayer. They've been told to pray for 1 minute. We'll see how we get on. They're going to pray. If we want to say a hearty amen, and we'll move on to the next person, and we'll pray through these areas where we're involved apostolically as well. Thanks, John.
So Ian has asked me to pray for Jeremy and for the Christ Central team, so that's what I'm going to do. Lord, I want to thank you for the calling on Jeremy's life and for the anointed leadership that he provides for us. Thank you for the other churches that we are together with in this group and in this team. And Lord, we ask that you will lift up every one of those churches and every one in the team around Jeremy. That, as it says in this passage, that they will be able to proclaim your word as they should. Lord, we ask that you will help Jeremy and the team to keep focused on you as the churches grow and the number of opportunities they have develop. Thank you for recent developments with over 30 churches from Zambia being interested to join the team. And Lord, we ask that you will keep Jeremy particularly focused, and so we'll be able to move forward in all your plans and purposes. Amen.
Amen. Father, we pray for the great nation of Albania. We thank you for Martin Dunsford, who oversees the Balkans team from the UK. Father, I lift up to you Eddie and Artina in Korcha. I pray you'll bless them as they look to extend their building. For Aaliyah and Radina in Albasan, that they may have a breakthrough in funding to complete their building. For Rustem, Maria, Lily and Genta in Burrell, that they may see a breakthrough in their church membership as they come against issues in their town. For Rob and Mira in Leisure, Father, I pray you strengthen them as a family. Lord, as Mira returns back to work after having Emily, Lord, that they may strengthen them as a family. And Father, I pray for the whole country, as in this last week it's seen a change in government. We pray for the new Prime Minister, Eddie Rama. Lord, we pray for wisdom and righteousness to be exhibited in that country more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, I want to pray for Ray and the Impact team. Lord, I ask for Ray that he will just enjoy this new season that you have given in his life. That as you join a new team to him, Lord, that he will find that new resource within him as your Spirit empowers him more and more. As he teams up with Steve Oliver from Dubai, Lord, and they reach out into many, many nations, I ask, Father, that there will be a freshness, that there will be a fresh anointing upon them, that there will be fresh expressions of your kingdom breaking out all over these nations. So, Lord, as Ray goes to India in the autumn, as he goes to South Africa early next year, as he continues his links with Mexico, we pray, Father, that you will just bless him mightily and that the incredible vision that you have given him will be fulfilled in his days. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the amazing work of God that you're doing in North India through the Native Missionary Movement. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity this church has to link up with that, Lord, and support it. And Lord, we particularly pray for Finney Phillip, the leader of the Philadelphia Bible College. Lord, I ask that you would increase his strength. Lord, bring more anointing on him. Lord, bring him refreshment, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would help bring him more time to do all the many things that he does, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you would increase his vision for the next phase of expansion. Lord, we also pray for his wife, Glory, as she leaves the school there. Lord, we pray for Debbie Dattopatnaik, who leads the Pragati Marg microfinance scheme. Lord, and for all the community schemes which are there. Lord, we pray for Paul and Christy Matthews, who lead the church there. Lord, we pray for Janet and Chris, who are out there from our church supporting the work there. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for the amazing things going on there, Lord. And we just pray that you would keep increasing the vision. Lord, you would strengthen everybody there. And Lord, you'll give your protection for this great work of yours. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We're going to pray for Canada now. Canada has a population of 34 million people compared to the UK, which has 63 million. It is the second largest country in the world after Russia, if we include the wet bits. And David Campbell, who planted the church here back in 1980, 33 years ago, after about 3 years, was called back to his homeland to begin planting churches there. It's been a very hard, long struggle with much opposition and trials along the way. But in recent times, things have begun to get moving. It is early days, but the churches are being planted across the nation, and those churches are growing in number and relationship. They're working with 10 churches now across Canada, one in the USA, and interest from 2 churches in Peru. David is coordinating and building an apostolic team, so let's pray. Father, I pray for the first family camp, July 12th to 14th, as it's the first time those churches are coming together for the weekend. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be poured out upon them. Their hearts will be joined together in a vision, a few people for a mighty nation. It's absolutely critical time. Holy Spirit, come on, do the stuff, Lord. Will you please pour yourself out upon them? And Lord, we pray too that more churches will be planted. Lord, the time is short. Lord, we want to see that land won for you. And Lord, would you raise up leaders to take control and lead those churches in a gracious and loving way. And Lord, I pray too for that team, Lord, that they will be like master builders, knowing how to guide and to build the churches. Lord, let your favor rest upon that land, we pray, for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Father, we thank you. The 160 people here have prayed for hundreds and hundreds of churches, even millions and millions of people. And we thank you that you are God of all, that you are Lord of all, Lord, and we ask your kingdom come, Lord, upon the places you've mentioned here and other places we haven't mentioned, where we've got connections, where we haven't got connections. May your kingdom come, Lord. May your knowledge fill this world. May people bow the knee to the name of Jesus. May you be glorified forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks, guys. Please be seated. Isn't it exciting that we can have an impact across the world just gathered here? And we can have this impact in your own home. We can have this impact when we meet on a Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Next Saturday, we have opportunity to meet at 9 o'clock to have breakfast together and pray. We are connected with the world through Christ. Through this little gathering here, and our prayers are affecting nations, governments, churches, people around the world. How exciting is that? We pray into God's apostolic move across this world. Second half of the passage, talking to others, verses 5 to 6. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Be wise in the way you act, which covers our speech, which is what the main passage is about, but also our behavior, how we live our lives. People do look at us. They observe what we do. They look at how we react in situations and think, well, they're Christians, aren't they? Does that match up with the message that they're actually saying, how we're acting? So be wise how we do that. And a lot of this, particularly the second half of this letter of Colossians, has dealt with these very practical issues, how you operate in the family, how you operate in life, so that we can be examples. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That's the theology. What's the effect of that? How are we living our lives differently? How are we glorifying God in all that we do and all that we say? We are to relax and be normal. Don't get het up with being, I must do this all the time. Relax, be normal. If you can't be normal, be yourself. You don't have to try and get the Christian message in at every single opportunity. Not if it's really a twisted way of getting the message in. Imagine a scene. You're adding up some figures. The total comes to 316. Is it the best approach to say to your colleague, 316? Wow. Have you heard of John 3:16? That's the greatest passage in the Bible, you know. For God so... If you start doing that, people will think you're weird. They will. I won't say I've tried it, but be yourself. Relax. Be normal. Recently, I've joined a sailing club the last couple of years. Number of reasons to join a sailing club. The first one was to learn to sail a boat. Tick. Second one was to spend time with my boys at the minute, but the kids in general. And that's great. If we all go out together, great kind of father-son time. Tick. Third reason was to meet some new people and being able to be a witness to those people. And it's great. I'm loving it. I just don't feel there's enough time to be up there making new friends. But do you know what topic is most spoken about at a sailing club? It's sailing. So I've had to learn to speak sailing. There's a whole new language out there. Because I want to communicate with people. We talk about sailing. I've never yet had a conversation about penal substitution at the sailing club. It may happen, but not yet. I want to be normal. Connect with people where they are. Take opportunities. If they come to you, take opportunities. I was recently having breakfast with a friend of mine just a few weeks ago. And I was talking to my friend about some headaches that I'd been suffering from. And as I was speaking, our waitress came up. And she kind of started talking to us because she had some headaches as well. And we got chatting to her about those issues, about her life. And we were even bold enough to say to her, could we pray for you? And she said, no. But over the course of the breakfast we were having, she kept coming back and refilling our coffee as they do. And we kind of get that conversation going. And at the end, we said to her, would you want to sit down? And she sat down, and we did have an opportunity to pray for her for healing and her kind of family situation. Now, I haven't seen her again since, but I'm hoping to see her in a couple of weeks' time. It was a normal situation, but an opportunity presented itself. Take those opportunities. Don't twist them out of John 3:16, but it's a very natural thing. And I want to encourage us to be a bit bolder with when we do have those opportunities. I have prayed for people frequently for healing here in church on a Sunday morning. And I've seen some people being healed as we've prayed for them as a team of people. The biggest challenge for me is now to take that out onto the streets in everyday life. God is the same there and God wants to heal people. So my challenge has been to kind of, let's see for opportunities to pray for people as I meet them, as issues are raised, and pray for healing over there. For some of us, it might simply be saying to a friend of ours or someone we've just met that you go to church, that you mark yourself out as a Christian. It might be that you can share perhaps a testimony with someone. They might tell you an issue they've had and you might say, actually, I had that issue. I had that problem. But I became a Christian, I found God, and that's no longer an issue for me. Can I challenge you also, perhaps, can you ask people, can I pray for you? Can I pray for that issue you've just discussed? Or maybe, can I pray for you to be healed? I think there's a challenge for all of us, whatever level we are at, whatever we're comfortable with now, is to go a little stage further and take things on, take those opportunities and go a stage further with them. 1 Peter says in verse 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do it with gentleness. Do it with respect, keeping a clear conscience. You're not forcing things down people's throats. You respect them. You connect with them. And you help them through that process. Finally, be interesting. How do we talk? Does our conversation, does it have flavour to it? That's the reference where salt comes from in the passage. Does it have flavour? Now, we have a neighbour. And it's not the Biggses. For those of you who don't know, we live at the end of a row of houses next door to us, the Biggses. But we have, because at the end of a row, there are lots of neighbours around them. And no reference. And this lady always complains. And it can be, you'll see in the street, nice day. Oh, no, all the noise across the building site. Oh. Nice day. Yes, but it forecast rain in 3 weeks' time. Now, it can be quite wearing. It doesn't encourage further conversation if you have that negativity. We are not like that, are we? We're all very nice people to be on. We can make interesting things. We're never grumpy. Try and be positive. People will warm to you. Salt brings out the flavour in a meal. So our conversation should have flavour. They should have an interest because interest engages people. Get to know about their family. Get to know about the issues that they have in their lives. Get to know what jobs they do. Well, that's interesting. Tell me about your job. I met someone the other day, and I don't think this is a secret, but he used to work for the RAF, and he was something like a forward controller, and he worked RAF bomber, and he would scramble the jets in case there was an unidentified plane coming to kind of NATO airspace over the North Sea. I hope I haven't broken the visual secrets out there, but you hear that, that's interesting. Tell me more. It was interesting. Yeah, so. But connect with people. Ask them questions. Family, jobs, situations they're in. Because it's building up that connection. Building up bridges of connection with people. We're flavoursome in our talk. So if you struggle with prayer, give up trying to be perfect. And then pray. Just get on with it. Give up trying to be perfect. Give up trying to be good at prayer. Now, some people in that liberation of enjoying, not having to pray, but enjoying prayer, well, might keep a list. You might keep a prayer journal. You might do all sorts of different things. But it's from a place of knowing the Father's heart. Knowing, I think, as William shared, that picture of the sparrow free from the cage. You're not bound by anything. I don't have to do prayer, but I want to do prayer. I'm free to do prayer. I can enjoy prayer. I'm not good at it, but I can enjoy it. And everyone here is very nice. But why don't you try and go that next step? When you speak to your friends, raise the stakes. Look for those opportunities. Even pray for those opportunities. When it comes to your friends, work colleagues, neighbours, mums and dads of your kids at school, talk to God about them, asking for opportunities to talk to them about God. Talk to God about them. This summarises the passage. Talk to God about them, asking for opportunities to talk to them about God. I'm not going to get the band up to end this meeting. I'm not going to get the ministry team up or lying up to kind of pray for people. But at the end, if you want to have prayer for something, we can provide that. But rather, I'd like to give us all time to reflect and to pray and really ask God's Holy Spirit to speak to you about your situation. So can we pray? Father, we thank you for your love towards us. I thank you that we sang that song this morning about we want to know you more. But I thank you, Lord, that you are singing to us. You want to know us more. And you want us to turn afresh to you and to allow you to work and be present more in our lives. And I feel, God, as I was praying this week, having a word for us, that there's going to be a new day of connecting with God in prayer. It links into this picture of the bird that's gone free. But gone are the days of slavishly trying to say your prayers to a heaven that feels like bronze. And that we are moving to a time of enjoying the Father's presence through the closeness of the Spirit more and more. And many here are facing decisions and issues for the future. And you've marked out your desire to seek God first. And you are praying into the situation. Maybe there's no answer yet, but it will come. But you are first coming to God for guidance. And God would commend you for that. You're putting God first. And Lord, I invite you to speak to us now, to bring challenge, perhaps to people here. Maybe it's a fresh one to inviting you to walk with them. They feel that you've been striving, going through the motions, but to come back to God. Open your heart afresh to God to ask that Father's heart, that security that you have as an adopted child of God, not an orphan striving for things, but you're in that place of security. Or maybe it's a response to the challenge to just maybe look for more opportunities, look to take things a bit further when you're having conversations with people around you. It might be just saying you're a Christian. It might be giving a testimony, offering to pray for them, healing. Just come to God now and ask him to speak to you. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be able to connect with you through worship, through the word, connect with you through prayer, and the wonderful privilege of being able to pray for the world this morning. From this little place of Durham, we're affecting the world. We ask you to bless us, Lord. May we each know you more and more. May we know that relationship of intimacy with you. And also, Father, may we go on that next step and challenge ourselves to take those opportunities, take steps of faith, take risks with you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks, guys. We've got tea and coffee being served through in the foyer. Notices will be running around on the screen behind me, but have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you next weekend. Thank you. Mm-hmm.